It's the pure Nintendo Koopa cast on The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds, or if you like abbreviations, PNKKTLOZALBW for, well, not very short. Trev here, as always, joined by our all-star cast. We have Justin,
Everyone.
and Katie's with him.
Hello,
And rounding things out, we have Gemma.
hello. Hey, everybody.
And Gemma, I think I'll actually start with you. So, A Link Between
Sure.
Worlds, when it first was unveiled or revealed, what did you think about returning back to the world of A Link to the Past? Were you excited? Were you apprehensive?
I'm sure you can guess my answer here. I mean, not just being a Zelda fan, but also being a huge fan of the original Super Nintendo iteration of the game, and this being a direct sequel, I was super excited. I have always said during this podcast, I love that game in particular, that sequel, A Link to the Past, and I love the top-down Zeldas. They're probably my preferred style. So to have my favorite game in a sequel on the 3DS, which I loved as well, I was beyond excited for this one. So it was a real treat for me. It's like I was thinking this morning about this because you don't often get something like this, like a sequel to a game that you really love. You know, in The Legend of Zelda, they don't tend to do a lot of direct sequels. There's a couple here and there, and there's a couple spread throughout the series. But I don't know if this is a good analogy or not. In my head, it was. Let's see. It reminded me of how I loved Michael Keaton as Batman in the 90s, and now you'd think I'm never going to see Michael Keaton as Batman again. And now I don't know if you heard that he's going to be reprising his role as Batman in the new Flash movie, and I'm like, that is like the coolest thing ever. So I think it's for me, I don't know if it's a good analogy, but it kind of works in that I would never have expected a sequel to a 20-year-old game that I loved. And when this came out in 2013, yeah, I was really, really happy, really excited. And it's definitely held up to my expectations, at least. I really loved this game. I enjoyed it visually. I enjoyed the changes that were obviously in it. So it's not just a cut and copy or a copy and paste. It's like it adds a lot more to the gameplay, really, which we'll obviously get into. But yeah, for me, this was a once in a lifetime almost kind of excitement factor for me, absolutely. Yeah. Do we want to give out a spoiler warning before we do go into more details, Rob?
We probably should have. I actually see that on my paper, and I just kind of skipped over it. So, yeah, spoilers. But hopefully, you played this game already. If not, you
Hopefully,
can still find it on the shelves. I mean, it's a Nintendo Select or equivalent. I don't know what it is in different regions, but
and
it's
we're
still in
catching up
eShop
in the
too.
yeah and we're catching up in the timeline. We're only This is what, 2013, so we're only like 9 years ago now. We're not talking about games that are 20 or 30 years old anymore.
That's right.
So
Yeah, it's true. You could have missed it. So if you have, stop listening and play it and come back.
Don't forget to come back.
That's right.
Yeah, but did you guys have similar impressions when you heard the announcement? Were you excited? Were you as excited as I was? Did it make you think of Batman for some strange reason?
I'm trying
Justin's
to.
a DC guy. I bet he was thinking of Batman.
Oh yeah. Always thinking of Batman. I do like DC. Yeah, I'm trying to remember the announcement. I think they did it in Nintendo Direct, maybe. Did they announce it in the same year and then it released shortly after? I thought it was kind of rumored they were going to do one for 3DS and then but by the time they showed it off, it was like the same year, but I could be misremembering.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was announced only earlier that year, like maybe April or something. It came out in November, something like that.
Which I kind of like that turnaround, you know. You don't have to wait as
Yeah.
long. I was excited about it. I liked I loved Link to the Past. And I was excited to revisit the world. I will say that, revisiting some of the same bosses and some of them had like new twists, but it seemed like some of them were just, in kind of a fresh coat of paint a little bit. But otherwise, it was a really, a fantastic game all around. The 3D effects, I think, were some of the best on that the 3DS has to offer. Kind of like with Mario 3D Land and the Kirby games, Planet Robobot and Triple Deluxe, I think was the other one. Both of those have excellent use of the 3D on the 3DS. So yeah, I did really enjoy it. It did feel, it felt sort of like a sequel, but it almost felt like a remake, sort of, you know. It felt like the world wasn't quite as new. It was cool, you know, kind of revisiting, you know, the world of A Link to the Past, but it didn't feel quite as like a whole new world, like Spirit Tracks or Phantom Hourglass, or you know, where it's like basically everywhere you're exploring is completely new. But so that tempered my excitement. It was still a fantastic game, don't get me wrong, but yeah, what did you think? Sure.
Well, I actually didn't play Link to the Past to, you know, Zelda heresy of for not, but so I had no expectations going in, just other than that Justin was excited because it was supposed to be a sequel to Link to the Past. But I enjoyed it. I loved it. I loved collecting everything in there. I felt like all the collectibles were worth it because I think you got to upgrade it a lot of things or get potions, and so it felt like it was worth collecting things or worth, you know, using the items.
Mm-hmm. That's true. There were a lot of collectibles in this one. Yeah.
Yeah, there were quite a few potions you could get. I was a little bit like Justin. Like, I was, you know, I remember looking and it's like, wow, it kind of looks like the same. And I know they were flirting, you know, the development team at one point. Do we do remake? Do we do sequel? And you know, I'm like, do I want to, you know, I was looking at it, I'm like, well, you know, but obviously once I played it and once I saw it, especially in 3D, mm-hmm. I felt like this game more than most really benefits from the 3D.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I had to, go ahead, Gemma.
I was going to say sometimes 3D felt like a gimmick, but I think it worked really well in this one. Like, it was put to good use, and it actually kind of had a wow factor to it as well.
Yeah.
It really was, because, like, I look at, like, still images, and I'm like, yeah, it looks all right. But then I play it with the 3D cranked, and I'm like, man, this looks so much better than I thought. And, like, even now, I was replaying it this past week, and just the way the world is designed and the dungeons, and there's a lot of, like, effects. Some are subtle, some are more obvious, but it really pops. And this was back when Nintendo was really still trying to push the 3D with, you know, like Justin said, 3D Land and different games. So yeah, it definitely won me over in a big, big way. Did you all play with 3D, or did anyone stick to 2D?
Yeah, it was definitely 3D. Yeah.
I think I kept 3D. One of the,
Yeah.
I think I did, you know, a lot of games I did switch it off, but this one was definitely on.
In the dungeons, I liked having the 3D on because it made, like, because some of the dungeons you were, like, came outside of the dungeon and then, like, inside, and sometimes, like, on that tower dungeon, you'd go on these platforms and it would look, like, super high up, and you're like, ooh, you know, it just really made it, the whole effect even better of, like, you know, you're high up and don't fall.
It's awesome. I never realized how big Hyrule Castle was until I got to the top floor and I'm out on the balcony there. I'm like, whoa.
Impressive.
And we're suckers for dungeons that take us outside. We've talked about that.
And this has it in spades.
Yeah, ironically. Oh, go ahead, Justin.
I was just saying, and this has it in spades. There's a lot of times you get outside.
Ironically, I think this game was a pack-in for the 2DS at one point, so...
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
you know, if you play it on that, it's still a great game, just maybe not as great. But yeah, besides the 3D eye candy, too, we might as well talk about the music, the soundtrack, just that whole aesthetic package. You know, Zelda's great music, but what did you guys think of this soundtrack? It was sort of like a greatest hits in a way.
Yeah. I like how they went back to a lot of the tracks from A Link to the Past and revamped those, and some of them, you know, better than the originals. It was a lot of the boss themes. Again, that boss at the top of the tower, a little fuzzy Fuzzy Caterpillar, I forget his name, but he almost looked like a hamburger.
So several little hamburgers.
Yes. Several, like with lettuce coming out, you know. But anyways.
Let's call him the Hamburglar.
Yeah, he's a little hamburger caterpillar thing.
I'm familiar with his work.
Yes, yeah. I love kind of they even brought some of the sound effects from those boss fights in A Link to the Past. You know, that kind of like, roar, you know, like we when you'd hit them, you know, it was that kind of, it was just really, they do a really good job with that. Like even in the handheld Zeldas, like going back to Link's Awakening, they had that really, you know, I think I've mentioned it before, that like, brr, you know, like you're hitting it, you know, and it has like that weird growly sound. you guys like, yeah, you can picture it, right? You're in that boss battle. You're like, oh man, yeah, I take that.
It's
yeah.
Moldorm. I looked it up.
Moldorm. There you go.
Moldorm. Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of good, you know, it was like the right amounts of nostalgia and also revamping the sound effects and music.
Yeah, definitely a good mix or a remix, if you will. But yeah. I mean, the music has been a kind of highlight throughout the entire series. But yeah, I think when you can take something that's known and loved and add to it, you know, make it sort of enhance it and make it even more, I don't know, goosebump worthy. Yeah, that's a cool thing to do. Yeah. I think that's almost what they try to do every time, not just the music, but in the game itself. You know, they take something. And we talked about this with Skyward Sword, how they took all of the concepts of Zeldas of the past, Zelda games of the past, and put them all in this one kind of epic quest. You know how we were saying the dungeons were like, it's like everything you could put into a dungeon, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like that with, I guess this, to me, this one seems like the same with a top-down perspective version of Zelda. Like they've taken all the elements from the past, they've added kind of some new stuff, and it's like this kind of almost like an ultimate top-down Zelda game mm-hmm. in a way. Mm-hmm.
Big praise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite music tracks, Katie? Or
I can't even remember the music. It's been so long, but I do remember like the dungeons always being like pretty jazzy. Like I was pretty pumped every time I walked in. Mm-hmm. But like they weren't too repetitive.
Yeah.
I really like the last dungeon too, because it's like each floor you get, it's like it kind of picked up in crescendo, or I'm not sure if that's the right term, but it's like it starts off and then you go a floor and it's like da, 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 and then you go up the next floor and it's like, oh, da, da, da. Like a full-on orchestra.
That is a cool effect. Yeah.
I love the original tracks too, along with the greatest hits. The Zora theme was one I liked. This was, I think, the only game that had a unique Zora theme. Because all the other ones used the one from Ocarina of Time.
Oh, right. So, nice piece of trivia for us.
Yeah, I could be wrong. Double check me on that. But it's just my own observation. But really strong audio, especially for 3DS. I feel like, you know, I could play it even without headphones, and I could still hear it loud enough, which isn't always the case with the little speakers. So, and anyway, moving on. We already alluded to some of the changes. Big one. Ravio really is central because he gives you the ability to law merge, and which is huge for the puzzles. And you also have a new system for weapons, renting and buying. So, yeah, what do we think of Ravio and the new mechanics that he introduced? Katie, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool because the world is open and you can go to whatever dungeon you want first, as you know, long as you had the right item. It was sort of like that risk reward. Like if you rented everything, you had it, you could go wherever you wanted, but if you died, you lost everything, and then you'd have to build up your rupees to buy or rent again. So then it made you have to choose which ones you wanted to do first. So you're like, well, do I want the boomerang, or do I want the bow and arrow, or you know, so it kind of made you, it limited you, but at the same time you could choose how you wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very neat, and kind of, it felt open but still like had those limiters to, you know, not let you go hog wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a different approach to what we're used to, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it was a novel approach that worked well. I don't know if they'll, do you think it's something they would revisit? I mean, apart from Triforce Heroes, have there been any other top-down Zelda games since A Link Between Worlds?
I mean, other than the Link's Awakening reboot, but, or the remake.
Is that Triforce Heroes? But yeah, that's not really, is that top-down or is that ice?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's top-down.
Yeah, so I don't know. I wonder what they would do in a new one, whether they keep that, or maybe they'd come up with something completely different.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a cool approach to make things, just to shake things up a little, and also to get step away from that repetitive kind of feel that we mentioned earlier. Like, there's a lot of nostalgia coming into this, but you don't want it to be too reliant on the past. So,
yeah.
And I think I read somewhere something about what's the lead guy's name? I can't pronounce it, but
Aonuma.
Aonuma,
Eiji Aonuma.
Yeah, he wanted to make like the perfect Zelda game, you know, and that's like a pretty tough task, I think, to set yourself.
Yeah.
And they really did want to change it up for this one. They wanted to make it, you know, kind of that balance between new and old. So I think that this new system does a good job of that. Taking something that we know and love and then adding this new kind of element, or two new elements really, the renting system plus the paint merging.
Yeah.
Which I thought, that concept was really good. It really helped open up the world a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if that was inspiration for like Mario Odyssey when you can go 2D. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
There's those little walls that you could 2D.
That's true.
I wonder if that was like
I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
those
true.
Those were fun.
Oh, those were awesome. Yeah.
They were really so good. Yeah. Very cool.
For me, it took me a while to wrap my head around like the merge mechanic, even though I knew it. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes there'd be a puzzle and I'm thinking in traditional terms and then eventually I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I can just flatten out against the wall and shimmy over. It's like,
yeah.
It was such a fresh mechanic.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
I feel like it was, they didn't introduce a whole lot of new items in this, right? There's a lot of them that are reused from A Link to the Past, but the wall merge is so good on its own, and there's so many different ways they end up leveraging it throughout the game. It was just a really strong
mechanic.
Yeah, new mechanic they added, but like there's, you know, like boss battles, right, where there's like that hand boss that like charges at you and you like go 2D, you know, go in the wall and then it like hits the wall and falls down, you know, so there's just a lot of different ways to use it, obviously going on the wall and going through cracks and getting outside and you know, defying gravity that way, but man, there was just a lot of really clever uses of it. I felt kind of like Breath of the Wild, where you got kind of those, you know, core abilities on the plateau, and then you kind of just use those throughout the whole game, right? It felt kind of like that, where you're like, hey, you get this core ability and you just kind of learn to use it just in different ways throughout the game. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I think
go ahead, Gemma.
I was thinking about Breath of the Wild, how we were talking about Skyward Sword and how that kind of, you know, felt open world-ish in a way, like it was leading to Breath of the Wild, and then with this on top of that, yeah, it's cool how you can kind of see it, how they progress through that kind of trajectory, I suppose, in terms of game development.
Yeah. Did you guys, I wanted to ask, with the items, like, were you guys conservative? Did you just rent what you needed, or did you try to load up early and hope you could power through?
I tried to buy them as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I didn't like losing them.
Yeah. Yeah, I was similar. That was one thing with the renting aspect. I was like, no, but I want to own these. I want to, you know, because I don't like it when a game kind of unceremoniously gives you something, you know, like, you know, maybe that's just from old Zelda games, right? Like every time you get something out of a chest, it's like da 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 da, you know, like that's it's fantastic. Like we should have that, you know, with everything we find, you know, like,
yes.
like whenever you find your A Link Between Worlds copy, Gemma,
yeah,
you know.
Definitely.
So I like doing that with just any object you find, you know, like, you found the stick.
I think when I bought this game, I got a bonus, like a free gift or whatever when you pre-order games sometimes. Uh-huh. I think it was a little chest that opened up and played that song. It was the best thing ever. It was so cool.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was this cool.
I think I got like a code for Oracle of Seasons or something, but I might rather have the chest almost.
Cause
Physical, tangible.
Oh, yeah. And it was like, you could put stuff in it. It was probably, I don't know about inches, sorry. It was like 5 centimeters long, maybe like 2 or 3 inches long. It's a decent size.
Wow.
Basically. And yeah, you could fit in, you know, coins or something's good for coins or, I don't know.
3DS games?
3DS games, yeah.
Yes, you could.
Or even Switch.
What it was actually made for.
Yeah, you could put Switch games in there now, too. Yeah.
Yes, I need to find it. I think my kid may have swiped it from me at some point.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the item stuff, I feel like if you were a Zelda veteran, maybe you could power through. But, like, I was replaying this past go-through on Hero Mode, and, man, there's no way I would try to rent a bunch early, because, like, two hits, especially in the early going before you get hearts. Two hits and you're gone. And like, oh, forget that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to grab every heart piece I can and just build up. And of course, when you talk about items, we have to talk about the ability to upgrade them, which is finding the Mayamai babies. Am I saying that right?
Sure. I said Maymay, but I don't know. You don't know one for pronunciations.
No, I like yours better.
Okay.
Wait, what did Katie say?
I don't know. Mayamay? Is that what? I don't know.
I don't know now.
Yeah.
Well, whatever they are, that the squid mom there.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that side quest? I really liked that.
I did as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the Sculptulas in a way from Ocarina, but I think I liked this more because I felt like the goodies were better and more evenly doled out.
Yeah,
I think it worked really well. It was balanced and it was fun to find them. It was so much fun to find them, but I really enjoyed looking for them and returning them. It was just, it felt like I was being rewarded for what I was doing.
Yeah.
That's
good. Some of them were so hidden too. It's like,
yeah,
I think I got like into the 90s and I'm like, why can't I find these last 7 or 8? It's like, I can hear them, I just can't find them.
Oh yeah, they made that little noise. Hey, that's
right.
Yeah.
I love the item upgrading. You know, we talked about that with Skyward Sword. That's something I'd love to see, you know, more of, you know, Breath of the Wild 2 or something. But having that ability, it just adds so much more value to collecting those, right? So,
can you imagine if the Korok seeds, instead of giving us like an inventory slot, let us like power up a weapon
exactly.
So maybe it can break?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, man. And like if you used a different, like if you used like the ruby to upgrade your sword, it would be red. Or if you used the sapphire, it'd be blue. Or, you know, like you could have
ice or fire.
Yeah, ice and fire. It'd have different, you know, attributes to it. There's just so much possibility there. But.
I feel like this makes the game replayable too. Cause like, I remember like, cause you can do the dungeons in any order. So sometimes I would clear a dungeon without having the weapon upgraded. And then I get it later, and I'm like, man, if I had that in the dungeon, I could have did this, or I could have did that. Or so I feel like this game, more than a lot of Zeldas, maybe. I mean, all Zeldas are replayable because they're great games, but in terms of traditional maybe replay.
Yeah, I mean, like, because, you know, yeah, you just kind of randomly picked a dungeon and went for it, but on second round, you might actually have more of a plan, like, oh, no, actually, I'm going to start with the water one, or I'm going to start in the forest, or...
Yeah, it could be a like completely different game.
Yeah, and then it's a whole different game. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So Nintendo, instead of the Koroks, bring back the Mayamai or the Mayamai or whatever it's called. Okay, it's that time to talk dungeons.
Yeah.
And this game had a lot of dungeons.
Yeah.
So let's kind of open the floor. Who has a favorite dungeon? Or do we all have favorites? And Gemma, is it a fire dungeon?
Probably. Knowing me.
The fire dungeon was yeah. I'll kick us off.
Trying to think what it was called, the fire dungeon in this one.
Yeah.
It had the same name as a link to the past, memory serves.
Hmm.
Who knows what I'm talking about?
Hmm.
What was my favorite title dungeon rock? Link to the past. Yes.
Was it Turtle Rock?
Turtle Rock.
Well, so Turtle Rock had the ice, wasn't it? Oh, maybe that.
Turtle Rock in this one was,
it had the ice rod.
You used ice, but it was
that's right.
To freeze like the seesaws.
The seesaw. That was a pretty cool mechanic in that dungeon. That was one of my favorite dungeons. I did like the sand one. I like that one from A Link to the Past as well. But using the sand rod to raise the columns, and then the fact that the columns would raise up high enough to use the wall merge ability on the sand, that was really fun. But yeah, probably those. There was a water one that was pretty compelling too. Although the ice one, I did like going back to the 3D effects where they had that kind of elevator that was just kind of always moving.
Yeah, that was
the ice one.
That was
just a really, it was kind of a really fun way to do an elevator. You know, I think there are kind of elevators back in the day that were like that just kind of like always moved and you could kind of hop on something and go up and, you know. but it was pretty
fun. I was trying to think which dungeon that was, but yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ice ruins, I think it was.
Yeah.
Which is your favorite, Trev?
Well, boy, I have a few. This is one of those games where I really kind of liked every dungeon, which is, I can't even say the same for A Link to the Past, because I didn't care for the ice dungeon in that one. But
yeah,
in this one, I liked it. I liked the when you're still in Hyrule, going through the castle, kind of just fighting floor after floor of enemy, and to see the view from the outside. I liked that. I don't really like dark levels, so I wasn't as nuts about the Dark Palace, but I thought it was clever trying to like cast those beams of light, and then instead of the Helmstar King, it was the Gemasaur King, where you smack him and the rupees just explode everywhere, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
But like Justin, I think the desert might have been my favorite, because that was the only dungeon, if memory serves, where you were kind of jumping between Lohrule and Hyrule.
Yes, yeah.
And I remember just to find it, it's like Hilda's like, there's no desert in Lohrule, and I'm like, what? And then it's like, whoa, when I finally found it, I think that was the last dungeon I actually found. And it's like, man, this is cool. So,
yeah.
That's probably my favorite. So, yeah. Katie, you got one?
I think I liked the Tower of Hera, I think it is. And I think mostly because there's like no stairs, and you just basically have that hammer and you just pop yourself up a level. But you can see almost all the way. Like, it really makes the 3D pop because you can see all the way down, or what's sort of above you, whatever, and then when you walk outside of the dungeon, it's like super tall, and you like have to jump to platforms. But I thought that was a lot of fun, like just the design of it. Can't remember many of the puzzles though, other than just trying to get to the next floor.
Yeah. There's a lot of switch puzzles.
Well, that was an early
puzzles.
Dungeon too, so
yeah,
it probably was less than some of the others.
Yeah, they had some little red blue switches, I think.
But visually, they do stand with you, don't they? Like, you can, like Katie was saying, that dungeon had that element of depth to it that really, you know, stood out and is memorable.
Yeah.
So it's so well done. It was really good.
Yeah.
I like that Link like flew at the screen, you know, like he'd pop up and like woo, you know, and transition up to the top.
And I like how when you use certain items, they come from the top of the screen as well. It's like it's coming from you, you know, like the ice rod. It's like it's shattering from the top. It's not coming from him necessarily. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Kind of immerses you a little bit more.
Yeah. Gonna give a shout out to House of Gales too, because a lot of the dungeons, even though they were different, there's some similarities. Like this has, like, you know, Skull Woods or the Thieves' Hideout. This has their own takes on that, Turtle Rock. But House of Gales, I think, was totally like original from top to bottom, and it was an early dungeon. But
yeah.
That was another cool one too.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was thinking. Yeah, just. Thinking those the wind kind of based dungeons do tend to be quite fun and inventive as well, just throughout the series. I've noticed while replaying them and talking about them recently, they do. I think maybe after Fire Temples, I do seem to like the wind based temples. I don't know why.
Yeah, I feel like you don't get as many of them.
No, I think I'm trying to think what it was. Yeah. What was I Finish playing? Cap had some good ones. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And was it was there one in Skyward Sword as well, or was it? I can't even think. I've been playing so much Zelda lately.
Wind Waker had one.
Wind Waker definitely had one. That was like an early one, wasn't it? I think. I think it was Forest and then Wind or something. Anyway, I'm just saying, shout out to the Wind Temples. I think we overlook them quite often.
Yeah. One of the things I really liked with these, especially the dungeons in Lorule, is when you rescue the sages, it's not like a Link to the Past where it's just kind of these color swapped, you know, icons. These are people you've met at the beginning of the game. It's like, hey, I remember you. Yeah. You know, you're the Zora Queen, or you know, you're Gully, the blacksmith's son, or you know, you're Dampy. It's like I felt like I had more of a connection. Did you guys feel that way too?
Yeah, I think because you know interacted with them while you're playing, it made them more of like a person or a character that was, you know, when you saved them, it was more meaningful than just some random like copy of the same character because they had their own, you know, quirks or funny dialogue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it definitely brings you more into the story. Makes you feel more part of it. I mean, there's been some memorable characters.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry. I don't mean
to. Oh, no, it's all good. Just saying, over the years, we've met some very memorable characters. So I like that that's part of the series that we can, that's something we can actually rely on, really, you know, that the people, the side characters are an important part of whatever story Link is going through at the time. Whatever peril Hyrule happens to be in, the side characters are, they play quite a big part in that.
I feel like it helped too, because as you're traveling, like their relatives are kind of inquiring. It's like, you know, where's Gully? He went missing, or my granddaughter's gone, or where'd the Zora Queen go? It's like there's this absence is felt. It's not just Link, that's aware of what's going on. I mean, people are aware to an extent, you know. So
makes the characters more three-dimensional, of course, right? I'll see myself out.
Instead of a dark world, now we have Lorule, and instead of Princess Zelda, we have Princess Hilda. We have Yuga as the boss for the most part. Mm-hmm. So what'd you guys think of the new area, which is familiar but new? Justin, you want to kick us off on that one?
Yeah. So you mean Lorule, the dark world counterpart?
Yeah, this version's dark world.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a fun world to explore, and again, you know, kind of like what I was mentioning earlier, you know, it felt a little you know, retreading of Link to the Past, but Link to the Past was just so good, so why wouldn't you retread? So, you know. But it was an interesting take on it too, like the Dark World. My perspective of the Dark World in A Link to the Past was everything was just, it was like there's just this other dimension, you know? But Lorule felt more like a mirror dimension, you know? Like it, like even in the poster for the game, it had like in the water reflections, you saw the Lorule characters, right? When Link's looking in the reflection of the water. So I think that kind of, it did seem more mirror-like, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, because you met up with the same characters, like the blacksmith, yeah, but now he's a little more gruff and short with you. And
yeah, whereas the Dark World and the Link to the Past, like, it was just, like, different. Like, sometimes the humans were monsters in that world, right? Or, you know, you got even transformed into a bunny when you first go to the Dark World. You know, so you had to get the moon pearl to, you know, stay human and all that. So,
and is it the case that Lorule?
Yeah.
I was going to say Lorule used to be like Hyrule, right? Like it used to be a nicer place that fell into, I don't know, disrepair and doom based on lust for the Triforce or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if they had the Triforce in Lorule, but whatever their Triforce was.
Yeah. No, they destroyed it, right? Wasn't that what happened? Is that they got rid of it because it was too much power, and then that's how the fall of Lorule started? Or
yeah, something like that.
Something to that effect.
Yeah.
So it's like showing... I love that mirror kind of analogy then, because it's kind of like looking into the mirror to see what could happen to Hyrule.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, if you had a really desperate Zelda, what would she do?
Yeah. Which was a cool, it was a cool concept.
It really was a mirror.
Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was very different than the Dark World in that respect. Yeah. Go ahead, Trent.
Yeah. You know, even subtle things like some of the, like you go in the houses and like the pictures on the walls, like it's like similar, but it's like a dark picture or it's flipped upside down or, you know, little things that I wouldn't have noticed the first time through or even the second time, but now that I've replayed it many times, it's like, wow, you know, it's attention to detail that I really like. And even, I wasn't even thinking of this till Justin mentioned about the pig bunny in Link to the Past. Uh-huh. And Robbio shows up in a purple bunny hood.
Yeah.
So
yep.
What does that mean? I wonder.
That's kind of a nod to it for sure.
Well, isn't he Lorule's Link? Doesn't he reveal himself?
Yeah, I was like a little bit of surprise, but
oh, sorry. Yeah. I mean, we did say spoilers, right?
Yeah, I was a spoiler type.
But yeah, I think that
that was a great surprise for me though when I like I didn't even really see Hilda being bad until like a minute before she turned bad.
Yeah.
So she was helpful throughout the whole game and, you know, giving tips, and then so she didn't catch me completely by surprise, but Ravio being Link.
Yeah.
When he took the hood off, it's like, whoa. It's like Samus lifting the helmet and you see the hair fall. It's like, whoa.
Wait a minute.
Oh boy. Uh-huh. Where were we? Oh, did we talk about Yuga? What'd you think of him as a boss?
Yeah, I thought it did kind of harken back to oh, now I'm blanking on the name. I was going to say Ghirahim, but Aghanim. Aghanim from Link to the Past. I thought Yuga was a good, you know, a good bad guy here. And it, you know, again, it had kind of those similar, you know, for people who hadn't played A Link to the Past, there was that kind of fake out moment, right? Where you're like, oh, who's this Aghanim guy? And, you know, and then you feel like you're about to beat the game, right? When you come back and have that battle with Aghanim in the castle, and then, you know, getting transported to the Dark World, and it kind of opens up again. So I feel like they, you know, they had Yuga kind of following some of those similar lines there, but those again were just so fun. Like that's what made, you know, Link to the Past so iconic. But yeah, I thought Yuga was good. I did think it was kind of a surprise. You know, I was kind of hoping Ganon would be involved at some point. But when you kind of had Yuga, Ganon, morph, you know, at the end, you know, we kind of had something like that with Spirit Tracks, you know, where there's kind of that Ganon pig-like form of that Chancellor dude or whatever. But so they've done that before where they kind of do this, you know, this beast version. You know, they transform some new villain in this game to look, you know, Ganon-esque. But anyways, I thought it was a cool...
Yeah, and I like that he kind of, you know, he reminded us obviously of Ganon with his kind of red hair and obviously the evil persona. But again, he's like the mirror version of Ganon in a way. But he's different in that he's, you know, Ganon's really big and strong and can wield a sword, whereas this guy had to rely much more on magic with his, you know, merging of the 2D merging of art and people. So I thought that was an interesting aspect. You know, you've got everyone's got their counterparts. You've got Hilda, Zelda, Ravio, Link, and then Yuga, Ganon sort of thing. But they're not quite the same. They're different. So I like that. It wasn't just a direct, I don't know, face off. It would have been good to see Ganon though, like you said. I do. I would have liked to see that as well. But for the most part, I think they did it pretty well.
Yeah.
I did enjoy his antics, as they were.
It's funny you mentioned them.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and without him, we wouldn't have had the whole merging of the paint thing. So, yeah, thank you, Yuga.
Yes, thank you for the ability.
So sorry, Trevor.
Justin mentioned, he said Ghirahim. He meant to, he didn't mean that. But actually, I'm glad you said that because I feel like Yuga and Ghirahim kind of share, in a way, a similar, they almost have like that kind of like androgynous like look almost. Like Yuga had the long hair, the lipstick. It's like, I don't know if that was intentional or just a coincidence, but I felt like, for me, maybe it made him almost maybe creepier. Because it's like, I wasn't sure who my enemy was or even what he was. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, it was a good fight. And of course, at the end, we get to shoot Yuga Ganon in the butt with an arrow. So.
Yeah. That was a very interesting... That was a cool way to do that battle.
Being on
the wall and shooting the light arrow. I thought that the bow that Zelda gives you there at the end, I was like, wait, she can like help us out? She's like in paint form and she's like, oh yeah, here, I've had this bow, here, take it. And I'm like, really? This whole time? You know. Anyways, it was such a cool design. I loved the, it almost looked like the Hylian crest, the bird, you know, it was, you know, the shape of the bow. It was one of the cooler looking versions of the hero's bow and the light arrows that they've done in a Zelda. So.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, a link to the past is the, you know, this like tentpole of gaming, like, you know, it's sacred almost in a way, but you got to be honest and, you know, address what do we think a Link Between Worlds did better. And granted, it had 20 plus years to be better, but what are some things you liked more in the sequel than you did the original? Who wants to be brave?
Yeah, that's a tough question.
Katie, you have no attachment.
Yeah, I don't. I've never played Link to the Past, so I have no frame of reference to.
But you will be. You will be soon now.
I must correct this terrible
thing. Yes, that's right. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, apart from the obvious, you know. The graphics have improved over the 20 years.
Yeah.
We've talked about the music being really, you know, excellent and basing it on the original but enhancing it as well. It's hard to say whether the abilities factor into it because they're different. So, you know, the merging and that aspect is different. I still love A Link to the Past. I'm pretty sure that's my favorite Zelda game. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
So, I don't know,
get me wrong. Addressing these improvements doesn't mean we love the original any less.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, aesthetically, it's easy to see how technology has improved over 20 years. Definitely.
Yeah.
A Link to the Past, you know, back in 92, whenever it was, looked awesome. It was one of the flagship Super Nintendo games. Right, so it was showcasing this relatively new system and looking really good, and it was definitely an improvement on the original graphically, and story wise and everything like that. I suppose if you had to say that this one relied on the past a little bit, maybe that's, you know, would it exist without A Link to the Past? I guess maybe not. They could still make a game with merging abilities, etc., but it would have to be completely, new dungeons, new bosses, you know, the whole concept of the two parallel worlds, etc. Would they have thought of that if they hadn't already kind of based it as a sequel? Mm. I don't know. Yeah, it's a really hard question to answer. I don't know if I really have a good answer. Sorry, I'm kind of just talking.
What
do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm kind of similar. Like, there's a lot of things that are, I think, objectively better. I think, granted, like, a lot of people have an affinity for that kind of 16-bit style. But I think, like, combined with the 3D effects and, even the visuals that they have, even when you're not using the 3D, it's still really compelling looking. I seem to recall that it was like 60 frames per second. It was a really fast, you know, it felt like it was very fluid combat wise. And so I feel like they nailed a lot of the presentation with A Link Between Worlds. Again, not that Link to the Past wasn't great, but I do think that they did improve that. And I think things like you guys were mentioning with just the character development and the side quests and, you know, a lot of that seemed more, you know, complete or rich than A Link to the Past even. And then, of course, item upgrading. You know, there was a little bit of that in A Link to the Past where you could, you know, you throw your sword into the water and you can get up to, I think, to a level 3 or 4 sword in A Link to the Past. So there was some ability for upgrading, but, you know, not nearly as much as we see in A Link Between Worlds. So, and of course, you got some mini games. You got some other little, you know, just embellishments and even just modern quality of life improvements that games have had over the last 20 years, right? So, I think there's a lot of that. It does, like you were saying, Gemma, it does feel like its identity is so closely tied to A Link to the Past that it really does. It feels like a sequel, but it also feels like a remix, or, you know, like you mentioned that word earlier, Gemma. Like, it feels like it's a, it doesn't completely have its own identity. You know, like some of the low roll, some of that mirror stuff is, but it does seem kind of tightly coupled to Link to the Past. But so, like it feeling just a little derivative and maybe not as completely new, you know, it was kind of the only knock against it. But even then, it's some people that say it would say that's a strength of it. So,
true.
So I don't know.
Well said, I reckon. That really sums it up nicely for me as well, I think. Yeah.
All right. I'm the one who raised this question, so I'm gonna admit it.
Go for it.
It took me a long time to wrestle with this, but I think A Link Between Worlds is better than A Link to the Past.
Ooh.
And it stunned me the first time I admitted that to myself. After that, I'm like, you know what? It's just my feelings on the game. What does it matter? But anyway,
yeah.
I'll tell you why. I feel like A Link to the Past, as great as it is, you know, I've played it enough where every time I replay it, you know, I'm not on autopilot, but, you know, I know the flow, I know where to go, I know what to do. Whereas A Link Between Worlds, because you can basically go to any dungeon, mm-hmm. feel like every time I play, I can play it differently and try new things. I feel like this really, I mean, what do we see with Breath of the Wild now? It's like, you know, go to any of the Divine Beast, go to any of the shrines. I feel like this game laid that groundwork. Mm-hmm. Because of that, and because of, you know, even if you put aside the mergeability, which is, you know, you can't really compare it because it's so unique, and mm-hmm. put aside the 3D, put aside the, you know, the fluid combat, just that openness makes this game more fun for me to replay. Mm-hmm. If I had to say, is this the greatest Zelda game or my favorite? I'd have to think about it, mm-hmm. but is this the most replayable Zelda game? I'd have to say yes. For me, it is.
Yeah.
Cool.
I suddenly feel lighter.
The first step is admitting it. Admit that you have a problem, and then now you're fine. You're fine. I don't think it's. I think that is a bold statement, but I think it's, you know, it's not unfounded at all. And like you said, I would tend to agree with you that it's probably the most replayable, at least maybe the enjoyment level to replay it is highest every time you replay, you know, like, I feel like I've replayed most Zelda games once or twice, and I'll revisit them, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, you play through it. But there's maybe like a limit, right? You know, it's like, oh, am I going to replay that one 10 times or 5 times, or maybe two or three is fine, right? Whereas I feel like with this one, I think you're right that you could come back to this 20 times, or, you know, like, I feel like it's got more, you know, more replayability and more enjoyment. But
oh yeah. I feel like the 2D games, kind of by their nature, mm-hmm. are a little easier to replay, just because mm-hmm. they tend to be, you know, shorter. Like this game is, what, maybe 20 hours, you know, give or take yeah. a few, depending on how much of a completionist you are. But compare that to like Breath of the Wild, which is like dozens yeah. and dozens and dozens.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, we've been talking for over 50 minutes, but I did want to leave a few minutes just to basically open the floor to say anything we haven't had a chance to talk about. So just kind of shout out. If you got nothing, don't shout.
But do you think, because it's open world and because you can go to any dungeon, that it suffered from like difficulty in playing, like a challenge? Because I felt like maybe it suffered like somewhat like Breath of the Wild, you know. I guess it maybe heavily relied on more puzzles than difficulty, because you were supposed to be able to go to any dungeon, so that means that they should be at that level that you can fight at, right?
Yeah.
Anyone else felt
that? That's a really good question.
Yeah. Well, and some would say that, you know, some would criticize some Zelda games for being too easy, so that would be a plus for some people, but yeah, like you said, it would be a detriment to others maybe coming in and like, oh man, this is very difficult.
Yeah, because I mean, I felt like, you know, maybe just in Hyrule, you know, I was just flowing and going, like, you know, like I didn't feel at any time that I was really scared to at any moment to be dying until like maybe low rule it amped up a little bit. Yeah. But like once you know, you've done a couple dungeons, you're like, oh yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
And that's interesting you say that, because you don't, it's not like you're a veteran of A Link to the Past.
Where
you just felt familiar, so.
Yeah.
I would say there's some argument to be had, and I mean, because, you know, especially too, like, I mean, there's even like, you know, you can use play coins and get hints too, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I would say, I guess, for anyone who thinks it's too easy, replay it on hero mode.
Yeah, you'll get the challenge.
You'll be humbled.
Yeah, that's right.
I would say it's easier than A Link to the Past by a fair margin, I would think.
Yeah, yep, I would agree with that.
I mean, I guess it makes it
like
accessible.
Justin said, is that a bad thing? Yeah. I don't necessarily think it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, yeah, it's good for some, bad for others, but yeah, like if people do like that challenge, you know, it's there. And
I guess it makes it more accessible generally.
Yeah. And I generally lean more towards that. You know, I'd rather a game, I think that's kind of like Nintendo's philosophy to games. Remember, like, you know, Iwata said, you know, games should be fun and fun for everyone, right? And I think that in a lot of times people, they're like, oh, I played that Dark Souls game or that, you know, like it, and it was really, it's, you know, it can be satisfying to overcome a challenge. As we know with Zelda games, it's one of the core tenets of it. But it's so nice to be able to share that experience with others. And if such a select few can even get past or complete a game, then, you know, it limits that shared experience, I think. So I would tend to always, you know, have a game be more accessible. We're playing a game called Tunic right now that is definitely heavily inspired by Zelda, Zelda games and top-down Zeldas, but it skews more difficult, and, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's what they're going for, but I still miss that, like, accessibility of Zelda's, and, you know, anybody can kind of pick it up and enjoy and have a good time.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is an easy enough game. You can almost impose your own difficulty. Like,
yeah,
you know, don't cash in your monster parts for potions or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Don't even use that bottle, you know, don't let that hurt. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Oh, there's always the hero mode, like you said.
Yeah. There's always the hero mode.
Yes.
But I suppose, especially
I don't mean hero mode either, but for this game, just because I've replayed it so many times, it's good.
Mm.
It keeps me on my toes.
Yeah.
And I guess the 3DS, there were a lot of, you know, younger players as well, so they would have wanted to make it accessible.
Yeah.
To everybody, yeah. Like you said, yeah.
It's true. Alrighty. If no one's got anything, I guess Justin, you can wrap it up.
All right. Well, man, this was a lot of fun talking about Link Between Worlds. Thank you, Gemma. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Trev. And so next time, I guess we're talking Triforce Heroes, right?
Yeah, we might have some new people.
Yeah.
The cast.
Yeah, I know. We've been playing some of that. I've been seeing some of the Slack messages and that's pretty cool. You guys got on there and the servers were still up, right, for doing the online play.
They were. We had a little trouble in the early going, but once kind of we woke them up, I guess.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Nice.
Well, yeah. So
yeah, I probably won't be joining you for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have fun.
That's okay. You'll be replaying A Link Between Worlds after you find your copy.
That's right. That's right. After you raise it in the air and go da 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 da. Exactly.
It's in that chest.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. I really do need to find it.
Yeah. And then you guys will probably join us for Breath of the Wild when we get to there.
Yeah.
So. That'll be a big one.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's, yeah. We'll have maybe like a two hour.
Yeah, that might be a two-parter.
Oh, yeah, two-parter. It's big enough to warrant it for sure. Well, thanks again, all, and we will see you guys next time.
Yeah.